A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. The sky's so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey. It's a sunny day. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day. Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We are taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. What a gorgeous day, Ton.
It is beautiful out there. After so many days of rain and snow, I can finally see the sun.
I can tell people are very excited about gardening because our text line, our phone lines have been pretty much jammed this morning.
They have been, and it's nice to see people wanting to get out. So I, you know, one of those things about getting out in the yard is actually preparation. I wanted to talk a little bit about compost this morning.
Okay, so what should we be doing with compost? How should we use it properly?
Well, compost is something that improves soil. And so what you would do normally is mix in, if you need to improve your soil, a couple of inches on top of the soil, worked into soil about 6 inches deep. And there's lots of composts out there that are really great products. And the important thing is if you can, is to mix them into the soil. You don't want to overdo it. You know, engaging in recreational tilling is one of the things we preach against. But get them worked into the soil. And you want to do that at least a couple of weeks ahead of planting because you want the soil microorganisms to begin to start helping the compost break down so the compost can actually do what it's supposed to be doing.
Which is pretty important. And this is a good time to do it. You've got a beautiful day out there. Get out and work in the yard.
Yes, and so we've been talking about Big Yellow Bag. You know, some of the Biograss products are really good products that could be ordered and used. You know, there's other companies that have fine products too. But I think the important thing is that if you want to grow a garden, you know, especially if you're doing the tomatoes and peppers and watermelons and corn, more warm season crops, it is a great time to get those soil amendments in now so that you can benefit from them in a few weeks to even, you know, 6 weeks down the road.
What is the biggest thing people do wrong when they're thinking about compost or mulch?
If it is straight compost, the biggest mistake people make is thinking it's soil and they plant in it. And so it needs to be incorporated into the soil because the differences from a garden mix to straight compost are quite a bit. And if you plant straight in compost, most of the time your plants will be stunted because of a lack of nitrogen and other available nutrients because those are stored by soil particles. And the compost is what we call an amendment, and it isn't a soil replacement.
Right. I think oftentimes people confuse mulch and compost.
They do. A mulch covers the soil. So it's something you put over the top, and what it will do is help reduce the amount of irrigation you need. It helps hold weeds in check. And if you walk over the soil quite a bit, it'll help prevent compaction. So those are the three main purposes of a mulch. Now, sometimes compost can be used as a mulch if it's just left right on top of the soil. Mm-hmm. But when you're leaving stuff on top of the soil, it's a mulch. And if you've incorporated it in, then hopefully it's a compost that has already, you know, gone through a lot of curing and it's broken down somewhat, but it's something that we use to improve the soil, and it's not a standalone product that you're going to garden in.
Right. Anything else you'd like people to know?
Well, the compost and mulches are very important in many aspects of gardening. And make sure you're purchasing from a trusted source, and make sure you know what you're purchasing. Because when I see things like aged manure, people will often mistake that for a composted product, and all it is old manure. And so you have to go through that composting process, because when it's done correctly, it'll eliminate weed seeds and really, you know, get that to where it should be. And there's just a huge difference between that, you know, old aged manure and what we would call actual compost.
All right. Hayden is with us from Biograss, because today is the day that Biograss gives the KSL listeners a great discount on the big yellow bag. Tell us about your discount today, Hayden.
Yeah, so we're selling our cubic yard of our big yellow bag for, usually it's $149. Right now it's going to be $30 off for listening into the KSL Greenhouse Show. Yeah, so $119 for our bags delivered. We have four products. You can call us at 801-562-9090 to place your order, or visit us online at bigyellowbag.com and use code KSL2021 to get that deal.
We've been talking a lot this morning about the big yellow bag, but you offer a lot of other products at Biograss as well.
That is correct.
That's why it's called Biograss, right?
Yes, you're very, very right. We sell sod. We have a number of varieties of sod. If you're interested in that, we also sell seed for all those varieties. So if you've bought in our grass before and are looking to overseed your lawn with the same variety of grass, we sell that, as well as a couple fertilizer products to help start your new lawn off or help fertilize your existing lawn.
All of your products are specifically designed for our area, but how do people know what kind of grass seed to pick? I mean, sometimes it can be overwhelming.
Yeah, of course, and we're happy to help if you ever call in and ask us some questions if you're curious, but predominantly people are using, you know, either a Kentucky bluegrass or a fescue blend. If you're looking for something more drought tolerant, you're going to go more towards the fescues. If you're looking for something like a more shade tolerant variety, same. We have a fine fescue for that. And then if you're looking for that, you know, just a typical really nice dark green soft grass, we have a Kentucky bluegrass called Bio Blue for that.
And you guys are so good about answering questions. People can call now and ask questions if they want at 801-562-9090, specific to Biograss. And again, let's give that website. It's bigyellowbag.com. And for your discount, for that $30 off, make sure that you put in the code KSL2021. And before we take a break, Ton, I did have a question here. Oh, my goodness, did I lose it? Okay, well, Ton, I'm going to find that question. I had one that went along with what we were talking about, and we'll get back to that in just a minute. The number for you to call and be a part of the program, 801-575-8255, or you can text us at 57500. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you this morning, taking your calls. 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. And I kind of lost my train of thought last go around, Ton. It was a question from a listener who wanted to know whether they really needed to amend the soil if they had like a brand new garden.
I would say probably so, that they would. And Hayden may have some input on this too.
Sorry, what was the question there, Maria?
The question was, would somebody really need to amend their soil if they had a brand new garden?
It really depends on what you're starting with, I guess. If they're going to be using existing soil, and they probably would want to amend that with a few inches of organic matter. But I would say probably not. You know, if they have a brand new, fresh garden where they just put stuff in, you're going to have all those nutrients are still going to be available for whatever vegetables you're planting in there.
Let's go to our next caller, which would be, let's see, Kimball in Bountiful. Good morning, Kimball. What is your question this morning?
Good morning, Maria and Tom. I have a question about puncture weed and gophers, but puncture weed, how do I get rid of it?
You oftentimes don't very easily. So where's the puncture vine growing?
It's all over a dirt driveway between the house and the garage, and it's been there for years, and it has a long root. Last week, when the soil was really moist, I was able to pull these roots up. They're like 8 to 6 to 12 inches long sometimes.
Yeah, and it is an annual, and so if you were pulling up roots, they were probably, hopefully at least, dead. So in your driveway area, do you have any desirable trees or shrubs growing along the edges of that driveway?
No.
Okay, anything within many feet of the driveway as far as trees, shrubs, or other desirable plants?
Well, an old cedar tree near the corner of the house.
Okay. The reason I ask is oftentimes if you were to go to a local retailer, they would say, well, just put a ground sterilant down. And that may be a solution. But if you have roots growing under that driveway area from trees and shrubs, they absorb the pre-emergent and they can become highly damaged. Wow. So
yes, we do have fruit trees on one side of it.
Okay, so a ground sterilant would not be an option. So the next best thing is probably pre-emergent. Now, if you drive on that quite a bit, you may break the barrier, but unfortunately, because the ground sterilant is not probably going to be your best bet, what you're going to have to do is when you start to see those germinate is either rogue them out with a shovel or just take a weed torch out and burn them, or maybe some Roundup or something to just knock them down every couple of weeks.
Okay. Well, that'll help a lot. How about the gophers?
Gophers
or whatever they
are something that we do see around here, even more than I think we used to. And local garden centers and farm stores will have gopher traps. Now, there is one, oh man, I'm trying to remember the name of it. One of my pest diagnostician Liz Beings really likes, and I can't remember the name of it right off. So let me have you write down an email address.
Yes.
And it's gardenhelp, all one word, at usu.edu. And just put usu.edu.
Edu. Okay.
And put in the subject line, this is for Liz. Because Liz lives in South Utah County, and I think that on her spread she does have gopher problems, and she's found one that she really likes that's effective. But when you're using those gopher traps, you need to make sure that you're in the latest run, because they dig holes all over the place, but they may not be using them anymore. And so what I like to do is knock down all the holes and the tunnels and then watch for the new ones, and those are where I'm going to be trapping.
Great. Thank you so much. That's very helpful.
Thank you for your call
this morning. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Zane is listening in Magna, and he's wondering, Tawny says he has a raspberry patch that gets weeds in it every year, and he wants to know if there's something he can spray that will kill the weeds but not affect the raspberries.
Not really. Though I'm always cautious, because I've heard of people, when the raspberries are still dormant, using like Roundup in between them. But that just scares me a little bit. And so even though I've heard of people doing that, you know, if those raspberries are thinned correctly so that you have one cane for every 6 inches, you can get in there and do some hand pulling. It's when they're every couple of inches and they don't receive a lot of maintenance. And then later in the season, I understand. Now, the other thing that he could do, if they are thinned correctly, so you've got one cane for every 6 inches, is get in there and do some very careful spraying so that you're minimizing exposure to the canes that might be coming up, so that you would just minimize that so you can get in between them. But weed control in those raspberries, it's going to be critical to make sure that they are spaced out correctly. Now, there are a few pre-emergent products that will help with it, but they are very finicky, and you need to know what you're doing. And I don't really want to bring them up, because if you mess it up, you could kill a lot of things in your garden.
All right, we don't want to do that. Let's take a call from Ron in East Mill Creek. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. Thank you. I have an old flower bed on the south side of my home, and it has not been doing well with the flowers lately. It had some green bushes in there, and we're taking them out. But I've been listening to you about amending soil. I haven't been really putting much in the flower beds. It looks like maybe I get these bushes out, put on some compost a couple inches, and till it in good, and then put some fertilizer. So that's one question. What kind?
Okay, I think you want to know what kind of fertilizer, Tom.
Well, on the flower beds, there's a few things we should look at. And the soil is one that's going to be greatly important, and that compost will help improve it. But, you know, why are things in the flower beds struggling? Because is it too much irrigation, a lack of irrigation? Are those shrubs too big and shading things out? And so we need to do some investigation of why in that area that things may not be doing well. It could be that the irrigation is being blocked. And so if they're cleaning out and starting fresh, I would recommend soil testing from either USU or BYU and make sure that the soil is in good shape for growing things. And if you can eliminate the soil, then you start looking at light as being an issue or irrigation problems.
All right, Ron, are you still there? You kind of disappeared for a minute.
Oh, I'm here. South of the tree, south of the flower bed out toward the street, I have two 60-year-old massive maple trees. So there's a lot of shade there also.
Well, and it could be too much shade. You know, if the grass is struggling under the maple trees and the flower bed's getting as much shade, that's an indicator that a lot of flowers and shrubs would also struggle.
Yeah, no, okay, then that's true. Now, years ago, it used to be plumb full of beautiful flowers. And I wonder what type of flower. The maples are there, and we love them. But we do get good east sun and west okay. sun, but you don't get that. The south sun is blocked.
Okay, so let me recommend a few things to you that you could try. So, as far as shade perennials, do you think it would be too hot for hostas?
Probably not.
Okay, so hosta would be one you could try. Then for some spring blooming stuff, there is one called leopard's bane that would give you some yellow daisies, and the leopard's bane plants are very shade tolerant. Then another called corydalis, and it's just spelled corydalis, so coryandalis, but corydalis is one you could use in that situation. Oh, there are so many good shade perennials out there. You could try columbines. There's also one called coral bell that comes in leaf colors of red and yellow and green, depending on the particular variety. But if you were to go to a local garden center and say, we need some shade-tolerant perennials, then they could sure, especially in May and June, sure show you a whole host of things. As far as shade-tolerant annuals, you're probably going to need to use things like impatiens and begonias.
All right, Ron, thank you so much for your call today. We do have the big discount from Biograss today. We have Hayden from Biograss with us on the line. And Hayden, tell people about the discount on the big yellow bag.
Yeah, so our big yellow bag is 1 cubic yard of soil, and it's usually $149. If you're listening today into the Greenhouse Show, we're doing that for $30 off. So you can get it for $119 delivered. You can get that either by going online to bigyellowbag.com and using the code KSL2021 or calling us at 801-562-9090 to place your order.
And this year, less weight because you have a new fleet of trucks.
That's correct. So being able to get our bags out to you as soon as possible is really important to us, so you can get gardening as soon as possible.
And tell us again what types of things come in the big yellow bag. Which products?
So we have 4 products. Our most popular one is a black garden soil, which is a mixture of slowly composted steer manure, wood fines, and a small amount of sand. We also have a premium topsoil, which is a topsoil blend with a little bit of organic matter and sand. And then we have two wood chips, so a light-colored one, which is basically ponderosa pine and Douglas fir, and then a dark chocolate bark.
All right, you can call Hayden with any of your questions at 801-562-9090. To get your discount and to order your Big Yellow Bag, go to bigyellowbag.com and put in the code KSL2021.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.